The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
who
different.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
contenders. How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the WrestleCast. This is episode 137. I am Samuel Kalunga, and with me is Mr. Don DeLorenzo.
Hey, yo. Welcome to the WrestleCast.
And also joining us is Mr. Greg, a.k.a. Magnum Prime.
What's up?
And also joining us, we have a first-time guest, Ms. Diana. Not to be confused with Distraction Finish Diana, but another Diana that you probably may or may not know. But here you go.
Hello. You can call me D Lovely or Miss Lovely.
Awesome. So, just like any of our other first-time guests, we like to know your origin story in wrestling. If you go ahead and bless us with that.
Sure. I'm actually a real old school wrestling fan. I mean, I've been watching wrestling since as far back as I can remember. My mom got me into watching wrestling. We would watch the soap operas together and we would watch wrestling together. We loved all of the, I'm just going to say it, we would sit there and watch, root for all the black people. We would root for Coco Beware and the Junkyard Dog and hope that one day they can make it and get the championship. So that was kind of our our thing with wrestling. So I kept watching all the way probably till high school, probably dropped off around college, just got busy, all that kind of stuff. And then I actually started listening to some of the CSPN podcasts and I came across the WrestleCast. And after listening to you guys talking about wrestling, it kind of started getting me back excited about it again. And then after the brand split, that's when I said, okay, I want to kind of get back into wrestling. And that's when I started watching consistently. I started live tweeting with you guys, which has been really fun, really hilarious. So that's kind of my wrestling history. Right now, I'm definitely part of the Samoan Coalition. I do love me some Roman Reigns. I don't love the Superman punch, but I love Roman as a person. And then, of course, AJ Styles. That's kind of who I'm really into right now as far as kind of my top guy. Historically, Shawn Michaels has always been, like, my favorite, the high flyer, the personality, the selling, that he's just everything for me. And then as far as technical wrestling ability, I like Bret the Hitman Hart, which is sad because they don't like each other. But, you know, those are kind of the people that I really gravitated to, as well as a lot of the other favorites like The Rock and Stone Cold and all those guys. So that's me. I'm getting back into things. Coming up with my new favorites, coming up with new plot lines and new storylines. Shout out to WWE Creative if they're listening. That's me in a nutshell.
Awesome. So were you happy when Coco Beware got inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Beyond. Extremely.
You were saying, Don? You were saying?
Oh, we just feeling honored that we could get you back into wrestling through our podcast. That's pretty cool.
See what you guys are doing. You're doing good work in the community.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you.
So going from something awesome to something not very awesome, we're going to talk about some Extreme Rules 2017.
Live from Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the people that were part of the WrestleCast crew that were actually at this event. There are a bunch of pictures online and people using the hashtag from inside the arena. So shout out to all of y'all.
All right. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, the hashtag is lit, as the kids say. So we start off with the hashtag say no to pre-shows, Kalisto and Apollo Crews. I didn't watch this. What did y'all think of this?
Yes, actually, it wasn't a bad match. It's pretty good.
So Kalisto gets the victory.
It was a distraction, too.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so everybody take a drink right off the top. Not playing any games.
Off the top, huh? Just go ahead and just start with the alcohol poisoning, huh? All right. So we go from that to a bad match. A match that I thought was really, really pretty stupid. We have The Miz with Maurice against Dean Ambrose, the defending Intercontinental Champion.
Yes, sir.
With the match is, of course, under Quebec rules, which states that the title can change hands on disqualification. And they had their match. It was normal. It was like their normal stupid match. And, of course, you know, like a lot of people say, why didn't The Miz just have Maurice slap him from jump? Why did they have to go through all that? It was just kind of like anyone with a brain would have figured that out right away. And when they did do it, it was just kind of 20 minutes into the match, they decided to do it. And then it just kind of, all the ref did was just send her to the back. And then, like, you know, the fucking ref. And then Miz pushed Dean into the ref. And, of course, the stupid ref is like, did you push me? Oh, I'm going to disqualify you. Instead of letting the referee just disqualify him, Miz hits the skull-crushing finale and, of course, gets the pin. My only question is, what would have happened if he would have kicked out? He would have blown it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they went the whole point of the match should have been the Miz doing everything in his power from the jump to get Dean to get disqualified.
Right, yeah.
So he should have had, like, stuff in his tights, pulling stuff out in his tights and everything. Like, just anything he can to get disqualified should have been the whole point of the match.
Why? Because it's called Extreme Rules, right? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of weird that it's Extreme Rules, but yet it's a match where, you know, you can get disqualified. And there were, you know, rules, with rules, with really tight rules.
Yeah. The stipulations were extreme.
Yeah. Right. Greg, what did you think of the match here?
I actually I liked the match. Maybe not so much of how it was put together, but the more I think about it, I'm like, well, they gave them 20 minutes, I guess because they knew the women championship match wasn't going to go that long. So they kind of had to draw things out. You couldn't go to him pulling that Maurice spot so early on. That's just how I look at it. But I mean, I thought it was okay. I mean, I've seen that match hundreds of times before. You know? Right.
Okay, so moving on to Rich Homie Swan and Sasha Banks against Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. Now, my only question is, why didn't Rich Homie dye his hair like Sasha to be color coordinated? Because they already have the green tights and stuff.
Because he's a man. That's why he didn't do it. He has guts. He didn't do it.
Yeah, he's got limits. That's why.
Standards and practices.
Yeah, right. So the match was shit. Rich Homie and Sasha were actually okay. Alicia Fox does her standard garbage.
Ooh.
But she has the best scissor kick in the history of the WWE.
No.
Shout out to Booker T.
I knew that was coming.
She has the best Northern Light suplex in the business. I don't know about scissor kick, though.
Yeah, well, they be trolling Booker T with that on Brawl all the time.
Yeah, like on another podcast, I used to be on. We used to say that like Alicia was his daughter. So
possible.
Yeah, right. You never know. Maybe you know. Where's she from? Florida. Maybe he was hanging around Florida at one point. You never know. So the match was garbage. Swan and Banks won, and then they had a little dance at the end of it, which some lucky person was able to record from the back. And we saw Sasha Banks was doing her thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rich Swan won via the Phoenix Splash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on, more garbage. This was bad. Alexa Bliss and Bayley.
Well, see, if the previous match was garbage, this was hot garbage.
So the whole thing going in was that Bayley was going to be too afraid. Oh, Bayley was going to finally go extreme. He was finally going to, you know, just put it aside and go extreme and beat the crap out of her with the stick. That's not what happened. Every time she touched the stick, Alexa took it away from her and beat her with it. There was no hulking up moment. There was no moment. It wasn't, even if they tried to say that, like, oh, well, she was, you know, she just couldn't do it. She couldn't hit someone else with the stick. That's horrible. There was no moment where Bayley had the stick and thought about it and then threw it away. None of that happened. It was stupid. And also, like, you really had me believe that within a minute, both women are so gassed that they can't reach for a stick. You know, when the stick fell to the ground and they're both like doing like the slow crawl for it, that was really dumb. Within a minute. Luckily, though, the match went 5 minutes and they ended our suffering pretty quick, but that was just bad.
Poor Bayley.
She's done. I think there's no coming back from this. Just the way they've been booking her lately, it's just like I don't see her recovering from this.
Miss Lovely, do you think they should turn her heel, or do it won't work? She's just too young, girl-friendly.
I don't ever really see Bayley ever as a heel. She's just so on as a face. But I guess I'm real disappointed. So I didn't watch Extreme Rules because I turned off my WWE Network.
Smart, you're a smart woman.
We can get into that after, but basically, there could have been a really good setup for this match. I mean, Alexa beat her in her hometown in front of all her family and friends. So all they had to do was keep playing up this, you know, desperate angle for a couple of weeks. You know, even make, you know, what's her face? Sasha's gone, so she don't have no friends. She's in the locker room by herself. You know, Alexa just keeps herbing her, you know, messing her up on Twitter, talking trash, and then really make her desperate and then see her at Extreme Rules whoop Alexa's ass.
Right. That's how they should have done it.
They could have, but, you know.
Yeah, that's what everybody came to see. Everybody came to see Alexa Bliss take about 15 kendo stick shots, and they didn't get any.
And even if you wanted to keep the belt on Alexa, you know she's sly, so she can come up with some kind of way to make it a disqualification or something so she still keeps the belt. But at least you get the satisfaction that Bayley got her comeuppance. And
well, they sometimes do a thing where, like, you're disqualified for kicking too much ass, as I like to say. When, like, you know, you take such a beating that the ref just calls the match, you know, because you're just doing too much.
Right, there's right. That. So I guess my concern is what, like you said, saying what's the long plan? What's the long game for Bayley? Like,
people boo the holy, they've been booing the holy hell out of her for the past month.
I don't know. I tell you, it's like all these people come up from NXT and they have these great storylines or they have this, you know, great talent, and then they get to main roster and the people just ruin them.
Well, that's one, because the people in the crowd don't really know who they are, because most of the people don't watch NXT who watch Raw. And two is, it's hard to come out there just cold and get over if you don't have any personality or aren't afraid to bend their scripts and their creative, because they're not going to give you like a vignette. You know, like it used to be, you would get like a month worth of build up.
Yeah, you would build up for like a month. Yeah.
And then you would come out. But now they just put you out there.
Exactly, exactly. That's the whole point, that, you know, they spend time in NXT developing the people so that you can start to fall for them or hate them or whatever it needs to be. And they don't do that anymore on the main roster. So,
right. So
I don't know how to expect people to thrive.
That's right. So like, even in baseball, which is kind of like their motto that they're trying to use, like AAA to major leagues, even in that, the kid gets drafted and he gets like a high profile look and he goes through like all these levels. So in spring training, so like everybody in the whole organization and everybody who follows the team, they know about him. You know what I'm saying? So they have a preview kind of him. He doesn't just get to come out and play on the big team. You know what I'm saying? They still get a big preview and they do a big preview for all the fans. And so then by the time he actually does make it up there, they're like, oh yeah, we've been hearing about this dude for a year or a year and a half. Now he's finally here. Same thing works in wrestling. They can build that anticipation, but instead they're just like, here's Finn Balor. You know nothing about him, but here he is.
Yeah, that's what happened with Emma when Emma first came out. Like, they took that character from NXT and put it on Raw, and people were like, oh, what the heck is this? Like, why is this girl, bubbly girl, dancing with... It was just stupid.
Right. So, but here's the thing. Like, if you watch wrestling, you watch wrestling for story, right? Otherwise, mm-hmm. you can watch boxing or UFC. You know, if I just really want to see a fight that bad. So if you're not going to build a story, why am I going to continue to watch? What's the incentive? And I feel like they're missing the whole point with the not developing characters. I mean, that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. That's what sells merch.
That's why we've been harping on, they've been giving away too many good matches on TV. They could go back to feeding us jobber matches, and that would fix all of that.
Don't get me started.
Kill some of the 50-50 booking and give us jobber matches, and it would fix a whole lot.
Don't get me started. I grew up in the day where it was just, nothing important ever happened on TV. It was all on pay-per-view. So, yeah.
So, yeah, but this was bad. And they've been doing this thing for like a month where like Alexa's like, oh, Bailey, you've never kissed a boy. Why didn't they get like at least get some actor or some jobber or somebody to come out and be like Bailey's boyfriend or something and have Alexa steal him or something? They gave us absolutely nothing.
Maybe this is the Sorry Creative Has Nothing For You portion of the show.
Just dumb. Like, I really hate like what they did to Bailey. But
somebody who didn't watch NXT at all, then you have a huge affinity for Bailey, sir.
No, I like Bailey.
I know you do. And that's really strange because we know how against NXT you are, but that's when she was at her absolute best.
Okay, but yeah, but now she's here so I can talk about her.
Got him.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the next match, Cesaro and Shane. This was really stupid too. I mean, God. Okay, the rule is that like, okay, so what? They both have to go at the exact same time? Or something?
No. The rules are escape the cage match. So pinfall submissions do not count. So basically, both of the teammates have to be outside the cage. Now, it doesn't have to be at the same time. It just has to be, hey, if Sam gets out of the cage and leaves Greg in a handicap situation, then, well, Greg, if you get out of the cage, then we win and leave those two clowns inside the cage.
Okay, so once I go over the cage, that gives the other two free reign to beat the hell out of Greg, right?
Exactly.
So they could just leave. So right. Why were they stopping me? Why were they trying to stop me from getting out of the cage?
Right. It doesn't make logical sense, because what would have happened is you would have let Sheamus go out of the cage, and then Matt would have just followed him out behind him, and they would have won.
Seriously, they were really trying to stop each other. The first person, like, leave the cage, go. Let me beat the crap out of the other dude, and then just walk out.
Yeah, the NWA wasn't about that when it came to the tag matches and cages. Like, you were there to just see four guys whoop the shit out of each other when nobody's trying to escape a cage.
Once they made it a escape only match, I was like, oh, this is going to really be on some probably BS, because it's going to be like, once somebody leaves the cage, he's going to have to come back in because his partner's going to be getting his ass beat and can't get out the cage. So he's going to have to get back in the cage to help him so they can go back out again. Like, oh, this might not be so good.
So, yeah, and Cesaro should just win.
Hey, can we introduce Didi Jonet so we can celebrate championship Cesaro section?
Come on,
hey, Didi. Just in time, Didi. Hey, what's up?
What's up?
How are you?
Hey. We're good. How are you?
I have been a part of a mini bar crawl. I've had six drinks.
Six? Only six? Come on now.
Only six. I started at 6 o'clock. I ended about 20 minutes ago.
So is this a tipsy run in?
Oh, child. It's a drunk.
Just don't run into the post, please.
Not right now. I'm drunk.
Okay.
Right. Don't pull a Nia Jax and hit the post, please.
Scott Hall.
No. More like Ric Flair.
Woo! I really hope there are no more distraction finishes. Just for you.
Oh, you just wait.
My whole life is a distraction finish.
That's a quote right there from the DJ. Quote of the day. So, the next match was the, I fell asleep, to be honest. As soon as you see the purple ropes, you fall asleep. So, what happened? Neville beat Austin Aries? Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Neville hits the red arrow on the back of Aries. Then he makes Austin Aries tap out. So, the ring's in Neville.
I read somewhere that Austin Aries is thinking about taking a break.
He might. He's been kind of beat up. And that damn red arrow, he landed fucking solid on his back, so he might be bruised up a little bit. He might need the time off. That match was pretty physical.
So, next match, the main event, was actually pretty good. This is the only thing that saved the pay-per-view, because everything else was garbage. Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, and Mr. Bray Wyatt in the Fatal 5-Way. What did y'all think of this one? I really enjoyed this.
Guest, we'll let you speak first.
Again, I cut off the WWE Network.
Oh, she didn't watch it. That's right. Sorry.
I'm glad Samoa Joe won. That
awesome.
All right, Joey Samoa.
It was a good match. Yeah, it was put together really well. The Samoa Joe, Bray Wyatt, like, tag team combination kind of wrecking shop for a little piece of the match was like a good touch. Kind of, you know, they like healed up together against three baby faces, kind of kept them isolated.
I like how they kind of didn't let Rollins and Reigns touch for a minute, because like they were about to go at it and then everybody jumped in.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this match was put together really good, and the finish was real good too. The Finn hits the three moves doom, that's what I call them. Of course, that's the sling blade, shotgun drop kick, and then the ultimate Kevin Sullivan foot stomp. When Finn goes for the pin, Samoa Joe grabs Finn in a coquina clutch, makes Finn pass out. Samoa Joe gets the win.
Yay. So, all in all, in my opinion, horrible night. Horrible show. But a good main event.
But then, like you say, Raw, I mean, it's the same writers from Raw, so what can you expect, right? Backlash was better, wasn't it?
Yes, of course it was. Didi, I see you over there. I'm doing the finger polish emoji.
What I do? Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the backlash was better. I saw you over there doing the finger polish emoji.
Everything Raw SmackDown related is better. Everything Raw related is just a little less than, not as good, whack. Choose your verb, you know?
All right. So, let's see here. So, Raw was from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Scranton, take me to the moon.
Let's see here. So Bray Wyatt comes out to cut a boring 20-minute promo, speaks his gibberish, Roman Reigns comes out. You chant the Roman sucks. More stuff happened, and then a match was made. Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns, which turned out to be okay. What do y'all think?
Roman gets the win with Superman punch, and then follows that up with spear. Yeah, it was a good match. Good, match they probably could have saved for a big Raw built up to it, but start to show off, get the ratings, pull people in. It was good.
I will say I love Roman, but I hate the Superman punch. But he was working it in this match, and I'm kind of mad because I don't think the Superman punch is ever going to go away now. Like he's getting a stride with it, and he's finding ways to use it where it makes sense.
He just needs to limit how often he uses it. It's getting like, if you don't need four of them in a match, you might need to cut that down to two, but just have them, just mean something when you do it.
Exactly, because in that case, if you need four or five punches, then do another move. But anyway. Yeah. Roman did good.
Okay, so Cass and Enzo are backstage with Interview Robot Number One.
That's Charlie Caruso. Please say the Caruso, sir.
It doesn't matter.
It definitely does matter.
It really does not matter.
Charlie Caruso has fans, sir.
Either one of them apart. And I'm not even being shady. I really cannot tell them apart. So anyway,
Sasha has the long ponytail most of the time. Charlie has like the bob. Hashtag fashion cast.
Yes, and Dasha dresses better than Charlie. Anyway.
Damn. Okay. So anyway, they're backstage, and Cass promises to watch Enzo's back after what happened to him the last couple weeks. Foreshadowing.
And then he tries to mack on Charlie and then turns back around. Cass already left his ass. That shit was funny.
Interview Robot just stares off into space as we fade to the next segment.
But the worst part was Cass made all that whole, I got your back. You my mans. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to never leave your side. They're not going to play you. And then, whatever.
So Alexa Bliss and Krangle are backstage in his office. Why is he always looking at his phone? What is he doing?
That's you haven't seen it in a couple of weeks. Somebody's got some dirt on him on his phone. They sent something to his phone that's like got him shook, and so he's trying to figure out who it is.
Oh,
Lisa Carter.
I thought he was like asking Karen if he could see the kids this weekend.
But no, him and Corey Graves, they got like, Corey Graves has got the T or trying to get the T on something. It's in a centering around this Enzo getting attacked. So it's like all tied in together.
It might be an NXT call up.
Cool.
Okay. So that's happening. Alexa Bliss wants to know if she can have a celebration. Hey, this is my life. And Kurt, of course, was like, no, because your segment last time was so bad, Plus, you already promised Nia Jax a title shot, and you'll have that match later on. So, I guess the director was in the ring with the guitar, and shit happened. And let's see here. Dean Ambrose comes out, and he tells Samson to get lost, and wants a match against The Miz. And, of course, Drifter attacks him from behind, and hits him with a spinning egg breaker and lays him out. So, I guess.
Get shit by the Drifter. Drifter's gaining a lot of fans because people ain't really feeling Dean Ambrose. So.
Well, yeah, that's the process of elimination. But overall, man.
They're kind of like the Spider-Man meme, though. They have like the same outfit and kind of the same character a little bit.
I'm sure I would get a louder reaction, against Dean Ambrose. Come on. So Joey Samoa comes out and says he's not scared of Brock Lesnar, and he blah 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 talks about the Advocate, and the Universal title, and Paul Heyman comes out to address the number one contender. Heyman gave Joe his props and blah blah blah, and then all of a sudden, then they talk, do some more shit. Then Joe does the whole quiet whisper threat thing, which was really great. Too bad the fans in the building couldn't hear it, but we could hear it loud and clear. It was great. And then he attacks him and puts him in the clutch, and can't wait till next week. Wasn't this great, guys?
It was beautiful.
Jump in there, G. The angle was good. I thought that he wasn't going to do it. I thought he was going to wait, just kind of like tap him on the shoulder and be like, you were this close. I could have done anything I wanted to you because you came out here with Brock. Without Brock, don't ever do that again. But nope. He yoked him up and choked him out.
This was beautiful. This was some good fella stuff right here. Where it's like, yo, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to jack you up right before I jack you up. Yeah.
This gives me ideas. I'm going to do this to customers whenever they give me some lip.
Hey, Didi, yeah. Can you do that to your kids at school when you're on a trip and they start acting out?
What you want me to do to my children?
The way that Samoa Joe was talking to Paul Heyman before he yoked him up?
No, yeah, you do that very low, like, serious whisper. I'm gonna fuck you up, but I can't say these words, so gather that I'm gonna fuck you up. Yeah, it happens. It does.
With like a little pinch like your mom used to do when you try to act up. And she
for sure. Like, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you gotta keep your job, but the job's not gonna save you. It's just gonna save me. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so Cesaro and Sheamus come out to show off their new gold. And they're in a match against Heath Slater and Rhino. In a match, wrestle. Let's see here. Sheamus hits Slater with the bro kick, and we all go home.
Cesaro section. That's cool. The promo was all right. I like people like Cesaro so much that they're actually starting to like Sheamus too.
No, I'm not. I still don't like Sheamus. He glows in the dark. No.
my podcast partner Q, he calls him a glass of milk. All right, so TJP and Mustafa Ali. Now TJP. Now, remind me, Didi, TJP's gimmick is that he likes video games. Now, what is your gimmick, Didi?
My gimmick is that I am a grown-ass woman.
Awesome.
Yes.
So, Tiger, the TJP versus, I almost said call him Tiger Ali.
taking it back to 96?
Yeah, right. So, yeah, stuff happened. Let's see. Perkins hits the detonation kick and wins. So is he back to being the heel, or what's going on? What's happening?
He's still heelish right now because he used the dirty tactics of kicking Mustafa Ali's legs out from under him when he was going for the 450. Before
he kicked his leg out of his leg.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's how he got to the detonation kick and got the win.
All right, awesome. So Kalisto against Titus O'Neil. He wrestled Apollo Crews at the pre-show. Now he gets to take on the Titus brand. So Titus uses his size and power to overpower Kalisto. As soon as the match begins, the match was super short, with Titus going to pull the tights soon after the match began, but Kalisto reversed it and pulled the tights himself. Are you telling me that little dude can pull it? Never mind, whatever.
Momentum, man. Momentum.
Sure.
He believes in himself.
And nobody treats him like garbage.
Yeah, so Kalisto gets the win over Titus O'Neil. Okay, now we go backstage and Big Cass is laid out. And so whoever was attacking Enzo got to him too.
So that's what he wants you to think.
Yeah. So okay, so
both the DBs think the same thing?
What is the thought here? Because it's too obvious that it's him, I think.
Yeah, that's the thought. I mean, the whole build is that he is sick of, you know, Enzo and having a, you know, fight all the time. And Enzo's just wilding out, whatever. He wants to go his own way. So, you know, keep jacking Enzo up, pretend that all of a sudden people get suspicious of Cass. So then Cass all of a sudden takes a fall and he can't wrestle. But pretty much the whole point is to kind of find a way to put a wedge in between them and let him go solo. So yeah, and you can talk about what happens next.
So yeah, apparently there's a gold chain that they found or something. I don't know. I don't watch this shit regularly.
What happened? Oh yeah, it's a whodunit. It's a classic whodunit.
Yeah, who cares is more likely.
Oh no, actually, it's probably the best, one of the best things actually on Raw in the past like 3 weeks. It's actually kind of compelling because it all goes hand in hand with Corey Graves and Kurt Angle too. Like, you skipped over the part where Corey like got pulled off the set by Kurt Angle, and they looking at their phones again. Must have been some more, you know. I don't know.
I'm telling you, he's an old person who doesn't know how to work his phone. That's what it always is.
Nah, but Corey was selling it because he made you think something really happened to him or something was going on with his family because he just walked off like, oh, I got to go.
Yeah.
And then the next time, Kurt Angle comes out and they're all serious, like, oh, we have to go. So, you know, Corey, somebody's got some tea.
Corey imported his contacts for him and then he showed him how to use it. And then ever since then, he's been asking him, like, oh, how do you do this again? That's what's going on, I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
So, the Miz's title celebration. Kind of weird that Alexa didn't... Kurt told Alexa that she couldn't have a celebration, but Miz can have one.
Misogyny.
So, the Miz was greeted with chants like he deserved it. And he comes out, and there's like a guy in a bear suit with the congratulations. There's balloons, there's props. Let's see. Miz and Maurice toast the Miz's victory before they realize that no one had booked the bear. Was holding the celebration sign. Miz immediately hit the bear with a skull crushing finale. The bear turned out to be a jobber. So then Miz sees a huge present coming for him. So Miz attacks the present with a steel chair and hit it with repeated elbow drops. It turned out to be a gift from Maurice, a grandfather clock. Maurice is pissed, saying, you know, look what you did, you ruined it. Miz threatens Ambrose. It turns out that the cameraman was actually Dean in disguise. And he hit Miz with the dirty deeds.
Now I will have to say, though, this after the Samoa Joe choking, this was probably my favorite moment of the night because Miz was going funny. All in on that clock.
Yeah.
Those elbow drops were like Ric Flair 97. Go nuts.
Yeah. So Enzo had to pick a partner after Cash was taken out. His mystery partner turned out to be the Big Show. Enzo was trying to get him to lighten up and to, you know, show a little personality. And of course, Big Show wasn't having it at first, but eventually he was like, yeah, I'm going to be all in as well. And so they turned into a rapping duo or whatever the hell. They cut a promo and just basically had a squash match. They beat Kells and Anderson. So, yeah.
It's never going to happen for the Good Brothers. Should have went to SmackDown.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about them too. They just kind of, they're talent wasted. Although I just can't wait to hear the Colt Cabana podcast of the day after they put in their papers. So Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax. Oh yeah, but so beforehand, Alexa was like, you know, telling Mickie James and Dana Brooke that like they have a Nia problem and they need to help her out. She's like, no, you have a Nia problem. You know, so and then they walked off. So, but for some reason, they're inside of the match for some ungodly reason. So, started out with just like Nia overpowering Alexa, putting her in the corner. They did the usual stick. Nia runs into the post. Here, Alexa saw she was outmatched. Crawls out of the ring, gets her title. Wait, what? How did it win? She got the girls to attack her, didn't she? Or
yeah, she got thrown to the outside. So when she's crawling around the ring, they kind of like, she runs into them. So when they block her off, when she gets up, she just forearms Mickie James. And of course, that makes them attack her. And then she gets disqualified.
Yeah, so then she leaves. And then, of course, Nia destroys everybody. So this was dumb. Yeah.
It was dumb, but I'm glad to see Nia actually out there in the ring. I was a little concerned because last week she tweeted, you know, some shady stuff about how SmackDown uses their women and Raw doesn't. And I was just like, what you doing, baby?
You know, why would you be concerned?
I thought they were going to bench her and be like, "Oh, you speaking out?"
No, squeaky wheel gets the oil. You just gotta be bold enough to do it.
Well, I'm
we're related to the Rock.
Right?
Oh, did I say that out loud? My bad.
Look, I don't care. I'm just glad she's still working. That's all I want to see. Because look at Mickie James. Brought her back, and what's she doing?
Well, it's clear. It's clear, like, what they should do is if they're gonna do this brand split or whatever is, they should clearly assess which brand does what the best. So they should put, like, all the women on SmackDown. They should put, like, all the cruiserweights on SmackDown. And then, like, leave Raw for most of the, like, you know, the good talkers, the somewhat okay wrestlers, the more like entertainment type value people, and then have the wrestling people and all the kind of friend stuff on SmackDown. And that's how they should split it up instead of, you know, the way they have it now. Because Raw doesn't really do the best with their women, but they do, you know, some other things. They do like their main event kind of single stuff a little bit better than SmackDown does. But SmackDown as a whole is a better show. Excuse me, sorry.
Yeah, I feel like the issue is with, particularly with the women's division, there just aren't enough women to go around. It's not so much that, you know, well, Raw is iffy anyway. But as far as there aren't enough combinations that you can make that keep the story interesting for an entire year. So
Raw has plenty of women. They just only do three at a time.
But I still don't see. It's like, I feel like eventually when more women come up through NXT or whatever, then that can even things out. But with the cruiserweights, that's another thing. I don't know that they should just be all on one show, because just like how some people don't watch NXT and then people have issues coming up, like, I don't watch 205 Live, and I don't care about the cruiserweights. But if they actually had some matches, maybe with some of the main people, even though it wouldn't count for their championship or their rankings or whatever, I might get more interested in it. So putting them all on one show, it's like, well, then I can just ignore the cruiserweights, or I can just ignore the women, and I'll just only watch, you know, the show with all the heavyweights on it.
That's an interesting concept. But they got to figure something out to kind of get the cruiserweights to people that care about it in some kind of way. Because, I mean, 205 Live, they have pretty good matches, but the crowd is dead, so that automatically turns people off who watch it, because it's like so sterile.
Yeah, there's nobody there.
There's people there because what they do now is they position a dark match after it now.
They don't always do that, though. They don't always do that.
For here lately, they've been doing it because you can tell because the people in the crowd are sticking around. It wasn't like in the beginning where people would stay for like a match and a half and then you'd see the whole front row get up and leave. It's better than that now, so.
Yeah.
But, oh well.
They wouldn't have to do that if they just either put them on performance or something. Just change up how they do it. Like, because they want it to be live so bad.
Yeah, they do.
Like, well, I think that ship has sailed, man.
Right. It would probably work if they really wanted to do it live, but it'd be like one more day, and I don't know, because of how they work their schedule with Full Sail. It would pop off if it was at Full Sail and it was live. If it's just got to be live, do it at Full Sail and put it on your network just live on that night from Full Sail, where people will get into it, where the crowd will at least make it exciting.
Okay, so then there was more stuff. See, I think Kaz got mad that, like, Big Show was, like, you know, taking his shine or whatever. We also had a segment where they explained that Bayley wasn't there because she had, like, three welts on her back or something. And I think that was it. Oh, and there was another R-Truth segment.
Yes. That was fun. Now I'm starting to get into these Blaxploitation promos.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering when it's going to show up on TV1. Or at least Bounce TV.
Yeah, they're doing a good job building that without them having to wrestle 15 million times with just a, you know, dueling promos. It's old school.
Which means that Raw can. If Raw tried, they could do some things. Look.
it seems like they would try more because they got so much time to fill that they would try to get people over by talking a lot more than they do.
Even that, just with the scripting, like, honestly, I've been kind of bored with Raw since Braun left out on injury, because I was really here for that storyline. Even though I love Roman, just seeing Braun just demolish people, that was fun. Now it's just like, meh.
Okay, so. No, go ahead.
Nope, go ahead.
So Joey Somoli against Seth Rollins, a really good match. My only, Joe. So Joe wins with the Coquina clutch after like a long 30-minute ass match. My only complaint is that if you're going to be pushing Joe versus Brock and Joe's like a killer, he should have really just come out and destroyed Seth instead of having like a fucking like long ass match with him. Like, do they really have to protect the Rollins that much that they couldn't just have him squashed at least once?
Yeah, and that's the reason why if they had a little bit better,
jobbers, right,
not really a jobber, but if they just had a little bit better, like mid card guy, like not quite a title contender mid card guy, but a credible mid card guy with a few wins, that would have worked out perfect.
Because like, they're really trying to build it up as like this monster Samoa Joe against the monster Brock Lesnar. But it goes on like a long ass. They do this long, slow match. It just kind of like it kills it for me.
I mean, Joe could have came out and knocked him out like he used to do before, and just get him in the back.
Just like a quick, just like a squat, just boom, 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 cocaine clutch. Okay, we're good. Let's go home.
No, they're not gonna do that on Raw, man. Mm-mm. Too many eyes on it, and people want to see the, they got to pay off the main event, quote unquote. But yeah, it would probably be more effective that way.
Because like, why are you protecting Rollins? Like, at least currently.
Because he's probably going to get the next title shot.
But he can afford to. No one's going to look down on him for losing a squash. Yeah. I'm just saying. He's not going to turn into Bailey overnight. Okay, sorry.
You never know what the politics are.
You never know what WWE creative, though. I mean, I'm just saying. Too many bad storylines, and then
it would have been more effective my way. I'm just saying.
Oh yeah, like we say all the time, they give you all these great matches, and it's starting to become like hurting the actual building of the story and the telling of the story, because it's like, oh, okay, well, we're going to see this match and it's too good for Raw. They just need to have them beat up somebody that's not that good and they'll do more. Seems to work like that way all the time.
And by the way, how the hell did Dean Ambrose get back in the building if like Kurt Angle walked out and Dean was, they would pass each other in the hall?
Dean was kind of hiding behind the door, so when Kurt went out, he went to the left, and Dean came in back in from the right. So it was like he didn't see him because he was still looking at his phone. Maybe.
If Kurt is like too busy looking at his phone, maybe he's too busy to see who beat up Kazuminzo. I was just saying.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what that.
Yeah, no, I think we missed that part because wasn't Cass all on Corey talking about, why did you say it was me and all this other stuff?
Yeah, they had a confrontation. That was the confrontation where the Big Show and Cass got into it. And he was like, man, I don't sneak around. If I did it, you would have seen me coming. And then that's kind of when.
It's a big, huge dude, of course. I mean, there's no sneaking there.
See, now Cass is jealous because Enzo prospering without him. He thought he was going to set things up so he could go solo and be a contender. Enzo's still okay. So,
you know what? Like, you say all this stuff and it does make sense, but WWE has a history of swerving you when everyone thinks that they got the twist right. They'll come out and they'll swerve you.
Yeah, I think it's somebody
else. Probably going to be the Revival.
I was about to say, I think it might be.
That would be fun.
They already had the Revival come out, but I think it might be somebody totally different. Somebody you're not even thinking about.
What, DY or something?
No, they're hurt. They can't do anything.
Yeah, Ciampa's hurt.
Ciampa's legitimately hurt. No, it's somebody. It's somebody. I don't know. It's somebody that you're not even thinking about. They're just putting a revival out there because they can't. They still can't pay them off for at least another 3 weeks or so because my man still got this mouth wire shut.
What if, like, what if Enzo is doing like the dude from Fight Club and just beating himself up?
I know this is a case for Breezango.
Oh god!
Put fashion fire. I'm just saying it would be kind of funny because there's always some kind of mystery going on backstage at one of these shows, right? Somebody's always beating somebody up and no one knows who did it. So we could just have Breezango, you know, always sniffing out clues and trying to solve the mysteries. It'd be fun.
Right. So that was Raw. Garbage as usual. Well, actually, no, this was okay.
Samoa Joe saved it.
Joey Samoa. Yeah, so Samoa Joe with the I missed you, but the rest, man. So that's my 5 cents.
I'll get back to you. I'm gonna go deal with it. Shane? Yep. Oh, bye.
Shane, man, I can't believe that. Shane, I want Lana at the Money in the Bank pay per view. She says she can beat me. So let's see what she got.
No, man, I'm dealing with a lot of stuff right now, including Sami Zayn issues. And again, if the stuff with Lana bothered you earlier today, what she did, you have no obligation to fight her.
Oh, no, Shane, I don't need to fight her. I want to fight her. I really want to fight her. I will even put my title on the line. So do I have a match or not?
You really want this? For your title?
Yes.
Okay. Then it's on. You versus Lana, Money in the Bank.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, and if you see that witch, Lana, you tell her I said she might want to invest in one of them Russian fur hats because I plan on snatching a ball.
Next up is whatever you guys are going to talk about.
SmackDown Matters. DD, you want me to take it over for you this week?
We can do a tag team.
Okay, that's fine.
If that's cool with you.
That's all right with me.
Okay, because I know the gist of it. Like, I know they were in Rochester. I know they started with the women and Shane in the ring and all of that. But you're more brief than I am.
Can we talk about how out of breath Shane was?
Was he?
Oh, my gosh. I was about to have an asthma attack.
Well, see, that's because he tries to do the shuffle on the stage.
And I mean, if you know you're about to come down there and talk for like 15 minutes, you might want to just kind of cut that out in the beginning.
See, some people don't think like that. They're just like, let me give you all of it up front and let's not worry about what it looks like on the back end, which is a lot of huffing and puffing.
And sweating.
And sweating. And yeah, who wants to sweat? I sweat. It's nasty. It's gross. But yeah, so he's talking about all the girls, Tamina, Natty Bo, Charlotte, Becky, and other people who I don't recall. Carmella, Carmella's girlfriend, James Ellsworth. You know, all of those people.
The only remaining diva on the roster.
Basically. So, you know, Natty checks her, quotes her uncle. Becky says, stop ripping off your uncle. Tamina's like, she's gonna win. Naomi comes out with the braids and the dancing and the ombre hair. She's like, I kind of wish I could be in the match because it's gonna be a lit match because this is the first ever, you know, Money in the Bank ladder match.
Naomi would do really well in a ladder match, I think.
Yeah, I think so. That would be in her wheelhouse. Now out comes Lana. She's got a blue evening gown. She's doing a dance, not like what she did online, but a little shimmy, a little shake. How'd you like it, Don?
I was totally shocked because I wasn't expecting, because I was like, really, every time the Naomi Feel the Glow song comes on, I have to do my little like Naomi dance. I get really into it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like totally into Naomi and, you know, how she was, you know, in the ring and had the crowd. And then like, what the hell is this? And it's like, oh, hey, Lana Bay. I don't know what you're doing here, but hey.
It's Lana Lena. Come on.
Yeah, so she comes out. There's a lot of like, oh girl, what you doing here? And she's like, you know, I want to be here. And, you know, I can even beat Naomi. And there's a lot of look. And then Shane's like, you've not earned it. You can go away. But all this preface is a six women tag match. Tamina, Natty Bo, and Carmella versus Naomi, Becky, and Charlotte.
But you missed the best part, though, where Lana was like, you can't be in the match, Naomi, but I can. And then Naomi just started laughing at her, like, for real. Like,
it was a good giggle. It was
like, is you for real? It's like, who have you ever beaten? Who you ever wrestled? First she was like, who have you ever wrestled? Then she was like, who have you ever beaten? And then that's when Lana was like, well, I can beat you.
Yeah.
And then they were cackling in the background. What was it? Becky and Charlotte.
And saw it. We're
like, oh,
she's
smoking something. Oh, yes. The shade was real.
For sure. Hey, female friend. I was late. I don't know you, but hi.
I'm also Deanna, but you can call me D Lovely.
No. Oh, my God.
We have to talk about this. Her mind is blown.
We'll get into that just happened.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so the referee is distracted. Get it? Distracted. Lana sweeps Naomi's legs out on the apron, which allows Tamina to nail a super kick for the win. So that happens.
It's a good looking super kick too.
Yeah, you should take a drink. I'm not going to because I've had a lot of drinks before I got here. But you should drink.
So yes, next, I need you here for next week. Thank you for being responsible.
You know, I try. Like, I wasn't just like going home, F it. I was like, well, let me see if I can log in. No headphones though. So, you know, we're doing the thugged out version. Next, Mojo meets with Shane. Mojo says he sounds so much like John Cena. Like,
is that why you call him Spicy White?
Spicy White because he's Turkish or some shit that ain't American, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what Spicy White means. Him, Sammy, they're Spicy White. Like, white depending on which white person you ask. You know what I mean? Like that. So that's what it means. So he says he's been sitting on the bench since he won Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which was about 2 months ago. He just wants an opportunity. And, you know, he is the only person on the roster who has beaten Jinder Mahal, a.k.a. the WWE champion. He's like, Shane's like, yeah, a lot of people deserve opportunities. Ty Dillinger does. Luke Harper does. And that gets like a lot of cheers from the fans. He says, okay, so what I'll do is I'll give you a match against Jinder Mahal, and if you win, you get added to the Money in the Bank ladder match. So Mojo has his ethnic voice on. He's very happy about it. But that's for later in the night. The next match is AJ versus Dolph. Don, do you have details?
Yes. Styles does a roll-up. And then he transitions from that into the Styles Clash onto Dolph Ziggler, and AJ Styles gets to win.
Awesome. Oh, after that is the Fashion Files.
Wee woo, wee woo, wee woo.
Fandango says he took the cologne bottle to the boys in the lab, but turns out there's no boys and there's no lab. He figured it wasn't the Cologne's cologne. Get it? Cologne, like Carlito's last name. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Tyler's like, I don't understand. And so they're doing the bit on and on and on and on and on and on. So then the New Day show up and they ask if Breezango would take a case for them. them new outfits. Fandango tosses his on the ground. Kofi picks his up. Sophie tosses it down again. Blah, blah, blah. Yada, yada, yada. The things, they happen. Don.
Tyler Breeze came back wearing his romp him. It was fantastic. A lot of things were tight about this. Okay, first, you know, they were doing the noir version of the Fashion Files, so they were in their black and white. And so New Day, they coming up, they're all in their color. And then when they walk into the office, they go into black and white, and then they're looking at themselves like, we're black and white, what's going on? So they're just like, we'll just go with it. And then that the board, the perp board, it was like Frank Sinatra, and then it was like a picture of Billy Kidman right beside it, and then the post-it note said, here's looking at you, kid, ... man underneath. Then it had like Michael Hayes, it said like repeat offender. It had a picture of Enzo. I mean, yeah, Enzo, said out of our jurisdiction. if you look at the board, man, it will trip you out.
Yeah, I feel like they had like Ultimate Warrior and a bunch of old people in the back. It was like either that they were on a watch list or something. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, they take a lot of time into that. So like if you were to, you know, just be a nerd and put your DVR on pause and kind of just look at the various things they have, you will find a lot of little cool Easter eggs that will just make you laugh out loud. So the New Day need to get some information on the quote-unquote Usos or the Uggos. And so basically they hand over like two boxes worth of information, Breezango does, to help the New Day in their quest at Money in the Bank to get the titles. So that's basically what the segment was about.
Yep. And so... oh my God.
Are you gonna make it?
You know what it is?
You don't have anything to drink.
That John Cena was returning on the 4th of July. I promise. Like, I was like reading that and then I started choking. Oh my God. Okay. So, yeah, he'll be back on the 4th of July. Next is
Captain WWE. Back on the 4th of July. Somebody said he'll be looking like an American flag.
Oh, I'm sure
he's so well like
suited and booted because that's what John does. Okay, so next is a non-title match. Jinder Mahal versus Mojo of the Rileys. Mojo puts Jinder in a headlock, into a backdrop, and then some shoulder tackles. Jinder rakes Mojo's eyes, tosses him into the ring post, and finishes him off with a camel clutch slam for the win. And that's what happens. Afterwards, Jinder grabs the mic and reminds everybody that he's the champ, the crowd champs USA, because racist. And Jinder says he dismantled Rojo's dreams just like he will dismantle Randy Orton's dreams in his hometown of St. Louis. He says Randy is sick, the people are sick, and he is their medicine, and they will have to accept him as their modern day Maharaja. He speaks in Punjabi, and that's that.
Do you notice his new, he's got like new everything, he's got like new entrance to words to his song. Or like in Indian now, he's got like the carpet shows up in the ring when he walks in the ring now. Like they changed like his whole presentation up.
I actually haven't noticed. I'm not very observant, but you know, SZA.
I just want to know like where they get all China USA at him. Don't they know he's Canadian?
They don't know anything except for what WWE tells us. What are you talking about?
His skin is brown. That's all.
It's a joke, Donald. Come on.
Basically. Don't nobody care where he really come from. He speaks that other language. He's not one of us.
The thing I found interesting, though, was on the commentary, they were talking a lot about the Singh brothers or whatever, and I was just kind of like, why are y'all talking about them so much as far as like, oh, well, they need to protect him and they need to do this, that, and the other?
It's like, you know, they always hype the Stooges up.
Yeah. Just like, I don't know because I've never seen them, but they sounded like they were a thing before they got here.
They were a thing if you watched the Cruiserweight Classic. Yeah.
The Bollywood Boys.
Okay. Because I remember the name Bollywood Boys, and then I remember like the struggle with calling them the Singh Brothers that Tom Phillips had. I recall. Yes, I do. So it's like almost like they're like trying to remember, like, oh, we told everybody that this was a thing, but it's like it's not a thing. And it's like, if it's not a thing, just keep it moving. You don't have to lie.
Yeah, but you know, the Stooges are like in the background. You don't usually even, why bother talking about them? They're not the main guys. I don't know. Made me think like maybe something's coming with them.
I mean, probably. Because, I mean, they're so little. They're so delicate.
Yeah, we almost lost one of them. That backlash.
Okay.
That spot, that Randy Orton spot? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next is a video package from Nakamura. And then after that, Randy Orton is talking to Renee Young, who is finally looking more like herself. Renee says she heard from several legends last week, including his daddy, Ric Flair, and Harley Race. They said actions speak louder than words. So he says in St. Louis fashion, he won't speak a word at all. But Jinder Mahal will hear him just fine. So next match is Big E and Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Nat Kofi, versus the Colognes. The things, they happen. There's a belly-to-belly on Epico and a big splash. There's a tag. Xavier hits a flip dive on Primo. The New Day uses Midnight Hour on Epico for the win. And they don't even need Kingston to get involved to get the win. Then the Usos come out. They call them old news. They say they have the division on lock and welcome them to the Uso penitentiary. And they said they used to be fun. They used to have jokes and laughter. But they say, you know, Kofi, you got these pigtails and a crop top. And all you're missing is a tutu. And then they say that the E in Big E's name refers to his bra size. And then they give the good, what are those, to Xavier's shoes, which did look vaguely genie-esque, if we want to call it that.
Yeah, I think they're owed to the Iron Sheik shoes back in the day. You used to have the shoes with the curled toe thing on the end.
Yeah, there was a strong curl going on Xavier's shoes. So, next, Daisy Fuentes, you might know her as Dasha, is talking to Sammy in the back, and she's asking how he's preparing for the ladder match. He says he's been watching footage from all of the opponents, and he's like, you might think that might be kind of, you know, useless considering I've been in matches with these people. But he's like, no, I'm picking up a lot of information on their little tendencies. He says the one person that he can't quite get figured out is Nakamura, even though he's kind of familiar with him, a.k.a. they fought in NXT. Then Sammy says, he says some things about Nakamura's charisma, says he'll be on commentary on Nakamura's match tonight. And then Baron comes up, asks Daisy for the mic, and then proceeds to beat Sammy down because Sammy always gets beat down. That's just what Sammy does.
He's like, Sammy, can I ask you a question? And then hit him with a right hand.
He's the male Becky Lynch.
Basically, yeah.
You need to team up with Becky. Maybe she could watch his back.
Nobody
takes an ass whooping. Becky to watch my back. Like, this is me. Like, I just put a mirror on my back before I asked Becky to watch my back. But
once again, nobody takes an ass whooping like Sami Zayn.
Poor puppy. Poor wee little baby. So Naomi is upset about whatever Lana said earlier in the day, and she wants a match with Lana at Money in the Bank. And Shane's like, nah, but Lana hasn't earned it. And she's like, no, You don't understand how I feel. I'm so adamant about this. I will put my title on the line, which is like, everybody who's us, and you know who us is like, skirt, what?
What is you thinking? Like,
why would you, what? Why, what? But, you know, Naomi said that, and so Shane is like, well, okay, if that's what you want to do. And then Naomi says that Lana is going to need one of those Russian fur hats because she is going to snatch her bald, which is probably accurate, but Lana will probably snatch that title because you know how these things go.
Well, yeah, be prepared. That's all I'm saying.
I'm beyond irritated by this. Like, if you're going to have Naomi fight anybody, let it be somebody who's a contender. Number one, don't waste your champion. But two, like, this worse than Eva Marie. At least Eva Marie had some matches.
Oh, Don, calm down. Well, she's been doing stuff in NXT, like in the developmental portion.
You can't see my face right now, but anyway, you just gonna put Lana ain't even had a scrub match on SmackDown. She ain't even come dressed to fight. She's in the evening gown.
She was in the WrestleMania match that won the Black and Blonde or whatever the hell.
She was a man. Missed her. She didn't do anything of consequence.
Well, the match was like 2 minutes.
I'm just saying, how do you get a title shot and you've never done anything? Privilege.
Well, Naomi's first singles match was actually a title shot.
But she's coming from NXT, though. That was different. That's like Paige coming out. You know what I'm saying? There's a different level of experience there.
Yeah, my theory is that because, you know, those people who are in charge of WWE are aligned with 45. They're also aligned with Russia. You know, it's just my thought. I don't know if it's true.
But also keep this in mind. Every champion currently right now is a heel except Naomi. So maybe they're going to go ahead and make that a clean sweep.
See, but the thing of it is Lana's been gone, so she's not even a heel. She's just not qualified. Like,
I'm just saying, someone who wasn't qualified became our president. You know, so, the president.
You know, but look, if we really want to heel SmackDown champion, women's champion, we can make that work. Look, I already think she needs to be hanging with the Trap Usos anyway. Think about
for
it.
Sure. If we want to talk heel life, I could definitely see Carmella having the title because Carmella, listen, I've been a fan of Carmella since she bounced on them damn ropes. Telling all of her business to Nikki, like
which Nanny forgot about.
Stand when she was like, "You think that I lied, but I know who really beat your ass up all while jumping on these ropes." Like, so I understand heel life, but like Lana's not a heel. We love Lana.
The rumor is Lana's gonna win, and then Rusev is gonna beat Jinder.
Where does Rusev come back from, though?
He's going to come out of nowhere.
I don't know.
Like on RKO.
Hashtag out of nowhere. I'm not mad at any of these things.
I'm just saying, don't be surprised if it happens.
Listen, I'm not surprised. Well, I'm going to say I'm not surprised out of nothing, because I was surprised they let the black girl win the title.
I hope that doesn't happen. I want Jinder at least to get it until, you know, lose it to whoever wins Money in the Bank.
As long as all lives don't get it, I'm not mad. But anyway,
another rumor is that Lana's going to win, and then the women's Money in the Bank winner is going to beat her the same night.
Yeah, that would actually make sense. But okay, so friends, there's one more match of the night for SmackDown. It's Nakamura versus Kevin Owens. Things, they happen. Kevin gets some heat coming back from the break. He gets a follow-away slam into the barricade. There's some running kicks, some kicks to the chest, forearm. There's a running knee into the corner. Kevin comes back from the headbutt with a headbutt and a cannonball. Baron Corbin's on commentary. He calls him a marshmallow. Nakamura hits a spinning heel kick, a reverse exploder, and a Kinshasa. or a Kinshasa.
Kinshasa!
However you want to say it.
I like DD's better. DD's was funny.
Thank Kinshasa. You. I appreciate it. You know, I try out of here. So yeah, Nakamura gets the one with a Kinshasa. And then, out of nowhere, Corbin runs into the ring, beats Nakamura up, and lays him out via the End of Days. And that is how your SmackDown ends for the week.
Yay.
Pretty strong booking of Baron Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
Boring Corbin.
Baron Corbin might be on the fast track to becoming your next WWE champion by the end of the year, sir.
Hashtag not my champion.
So, Dee Dee, what did you think about your SmackDown this week?
I was not as impressed as last week, but I was still more impressed than I was with Raw.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
That is fair. Greg, you got any thoughts on anything on SmackDown?
I completely forgot about Greg.
Greg has thoughts about his extra jobs. That's what Greg
No, it's just one job. It's just all the time. That's the problem.
He's like, no, he's like, listen, Dee Dee, I'm tired of your shit.
I mean, and once again, it was the superior show to Raw. I kind of hated seeing the matchups of the guys who are actually going to be in the Money in the Bank matchup. I would just prefer to kind of save that until the actual live event, but I understand, hey, you got to fill out 2 hours. But other than that, I thought it was a good show. I actually thought Charlotte gave a good promo. It was short. It was sweet. That's about it.
Don?
Tamina is looking outstanding.
I was asking you a question. I didn't want to.
Oh, sorry. I just gave my opinion.
No, go ahead and give your opinion. Sorry.
No, I'll take your question now. That was my only really thought I was going to say.
No. Do you remember, did you see the match where racist Aaliyah, where she, out of nowhere, did the flat back bump and then did the kip up?
Yes.
That was against Lana.
Okay.
Which was a really stupid move, by the way, but whatever. It was just weird.
Yes. Yes, it was.
But anyway, go ahead. Continue. Sorry.
No. Just going to say that, yeah. Tamina, she's looking fantastic. She looks great after she came back from a knee injury, and I hope she does really well in Money in the Bank. She might be my selection for who you got when we get there next week. Foreshadowing. All right, so at this time, let's talk about CSPN.us and Amazon. Of course, Father's Day is coming up. Guys need to do some last-minute shopping. Do it online through CSPN and Amazon. Log on to CSPN.us. Click on Support Our Sponsors. When you get there, click on the Amazon tab. It'll direct you into Amazon. Do your shopping as you normally would. Buy the things that you would for your father for Father's Day. And you can help support the podcast, get the podcast free. As some of that purchase will come back to us, and we can use that money to do the things we need to do to keep the podcast coming to you every week. So please support CSPN.us by doing some shopping through Amazon. All you have to do is just go to our website, look for the banner that says support, click on Amazon, and then everything will take care of itself from there. So we're going to get into 205 Live. Noam Dar comes out because an in-ring promo without Alicia Fox. He talks about Cedric Alexander, and that prompts Cedric Alexander to come out. Then we get a match between Cedric Alexander and Noam Dar. Noam Dar is going for his running one-legged kick when Cedric Alexander counters that into the lumbar check out of nowhere, and he gets the win. Then we get a nice TJ Perkins vignette on his run as champion, followed by a TJ Perkins backstage promo with Dasha. Next, we have Mustafa Ali versus Louis Valley. Valley hits a cradle on Ali, but Ali counters it into his own roll-up, and he gets the win. Drew Gulak then comes out to celebrate that Ali won his match without the high flying. Ali then hits a dive on Gulak for his troubles. Then we get a nice, rich homie Swan vignette, please say the homie, on his tough upbringing in Baltimore. Then we show Rich Swan and Tozawa in the back when they are approached by Titus O'Neil. Titus wants Tozawa to join the Titus brand, Titus says Cruz suggested him for the Titus brand, and he needs to go ahead and go home and think it over. Then we get Neville. He does a promo on the upcoming title match. And then we have TJP versus Neville. Neville goes for the Rings of Saturn, but TJP rolls through for pinning predicament. Neville then transitions the pin back into the Rings of Saturn, and TJP is forced to tap out. That was a very good championship match. They got about 17, 18 minutes. It was really good. TJP, he kind of wrestled a little bit like a face in this one, just because Neville had attacked him the night before or whatever, so he had a little bit of crowd support going for him. Yeah, I really like this match, so kudos to those two guys for that 205 Live Cruiserweight Championship match. Sam, it's time for your favorite. It's back. Lucha Underground. We get Prince Puma versus, he hears voices in his head. He's looking in the bathroom mirror. And then Rey Mysterio arrives and tells Prince Puma to don't trust Vampiro, that he's just trying to use him for his own agenda. Rey Mysterio tells Puma that Vampiro isn't his friend, and Puma responds to that, that Rey isn't his friend. Prince Puma leaves. Rey sees Vampiro and hears the voices in his head. Vampiro tells Rey to mind his business or he's going to send Rey to hell. Rey breaks the mirror. Next up, Dario Cueto comes out and informs everybody of the rules for the all-night-long sudden death match. Dario then adds a special stipulation as the favorite to the mat that the falls will count anywhere. So next we get Johnny Mundo versus the Mac, sudden death, falls count anywhere. After a whole bunch of shenanigans, some outside interference, Mundo gives the Mac a sunset flip powerbomb onto a stack of chairs and retains the title. Next up, Dario comes out to the ring and touts all his accomplishments as the head of Lucha Underground. He announces his latest concept, the Cueto Cup, which will be a 32-man tournament that starts next week. The winner will get a title shot at Ultima Lucha 3. Cueto then makes another announcement. He says Mundo will be in a title match that night as well. Cueto tells the crowd that he was going to give it to Matanza, but Matanza got embarrassed by Rey Mysterio. So Cueto says Rey will be the one to get the title shot versus Johnny at Ultima Lucha 3. We get Sam's favorite, the comic book trio of Phoenix, Aerostar, and Drago versus Cobra Moon, Bendar, and Vibrora. Drago blows the mist in the face of his partner, Aerostar, when Aerostar goes to make a tag. Bendar follows up with a powerbomb on Aerostar. Drago then crosses over to the other side of the ring to get the tag. Bendar and Vibrora hold Aerostar arms and legs when Drago does a running frog splash on Aerostar, makes the pin, and they become the new Trios Tag Team Champions, and now Drago is under the control of Cobra Moon. Next up, they show Johnny Mundo in the locker room. Mundo asks, where was all the champagne? This was supposed to be a celebration. Ricky Mandel says Tyre told him to wait on the champagne. Ty then comes back into the locker room. Ty informs Mundo about the match that he's going to have at Ultima Lucha 3 against Rey Mysterio Jr. Mundo says that Rey is no joke, and he will push him to the limit. Then he told Mandel to go warm the car up, and then they go to leave the locker room, and Johnny's just in his towel, and she's like, hey, aren't you going to put on some pants? He's like, no, we don't have any time for pants. And they just walk out. So then we get our main event, Prince Puma versus Mil Murtis in a bull height street fight. Katrina hits Puma with the stone that she carries, but then Vampiro leaves the announce table to hand Puma a brick. Puma hits Mil with the brick, and Puma gets the win. So that was Lucha Underground. Anybody watch that besides me?
No, just you.
Just me?
I didn't have time.
Oh, you got to check it out.
Limited time in the day, sir.
The first one, the all night long, the first one, part one, that was really good. From last week, Mac and Johnny Mundo. Yeah, that was really good. Next up, NXT, Heavy Machinery versus Lars Sullivan and Victor Andrews. Heavy Machinery hits their finisher, the compactor, to get the win. The post-match, Lars Sullivan gives Andrews a beatdown. This Lars Sullivan guy, they're pushing him. They're kind of giving him a little run. This is like the third time they've done this where he dominates the match. He has kind of like a smaller cruiserweight opponent. And he tags at, his partner in. His partner ends up getting wrecked. And then after the match, Lars Sullivan wrecks his partner. So they're kind of building him up that way. Looks kind of like Snitsky, if you guys need like a reference of kind of his build and everything. We get a No Way Jose video package. Then we get a Roderick Strong promo where he declares that he wants the NXT title. He declares it's no longer Roddy versus the world, but his family versus the world. Bobby Roode then comes out, fakes tears, wipes them away. Roode says Roddy just started winning matches. He has a marginally hot wife and that his son looks somewhat normal. Roode said that he has to earn his title shot and then maybe he can get to the point where he can take a selfie with the NXT champion. Man, Bobby Roode just sliced him and diced him all up. It was really embarrassing. Next, we get Nikki Cross. She's going crazy backstage. She says that she wishes that she could wrestle Asuka and Ruby Riott tonight, but she's going to have to wait till next week. Then we get Paul Ellering in an Authors of Pain vignette. Next, we get my favorite, Peyton Royce versus Sarah Logan, who is Crazy Mary Dobson, Sam. She's made an NXT appearance.
What is her NXT name?
Sarah Logan.
Hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. So Peyton gets the win with the Fisherman Suplex. You guys know how I feel about Peyton Royce. Cien Almas, they show a video of his upset loss last week. He doesn't seem too worried about it and is very interested in his present company, which is a bunch of pretty hot women. And out of nowhere, Thea Trinidad appears and slaps him in disgust. So maybe this is the way they're going to get Thea Trinidad involved in NXT with Cien Almas. So that would be pretty cool.
You know, if she and Alexa stood like on each other's shoulders, if Alexa stood on her shoulders, they'd actually make a full-size wrestler.
Oh, my goodness. Here you go. You got any jokes about Binky Blair, too? Because she's like 4'11".
Hey. Yeah, but she's all woman, though.
She's 4'11", but she could bench press your ass, too.
So they could make a cruiserweight with just the women now. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm waiting.
Was Alexa on Lucha Underground?
Who?
Was Alexa Bliss on Lucha Underground?
No, why would she be as on Lucha Underground?
As her,
No.
As her alter ego.
Sir, no.
No? Okay.
So awful. I'm waiting. I wonder what's taking them so long to debut Binky Blair. I mean, she was in like the big women's battle royal that Ember Moon got hurt in, but that's like the only thing she's been on TV in. So hopefully soon.
Hopefully she's in that tournament.
Yeah, yeah. So we get Hideo Itami versus Orny Lorcan. After three GTSs to Lorcan, Itami is going for a fourth when Cassius Ohno comes down and makes it safe. Ohno and Itami just have a stare down, and so Itami leaves the ring. Get a Drew McIntyre video package. Then we get an Ember Moon promo on the women's title match that will happen next week. We get to our main event, No Way Jose versus Killian Dane. Jose goes for the pitch, but Dane hits No Way Jose with the headbutt. Killian Dane follows that up with the shotgun dropkick and then puts Jose away with the one-winged angel. And he gets the win. And that was your NXT for this week. So, just kind of filler show. The Drew McIntyre video package is kind of cool. So it's kind of like kind of spotlighting him, setting him up for something big. Can't wait till we get to this Ember Moon payoff with her and Asuka eventually. But she's got to go through Peyton Royce and Billy Kay first. So, you know, that'll be kind of fun too, even though I hate to see my girl Peyton Royce have to take a beating from Ember Moon in the process.
I'm here for it. I love Ember Moon.
We all love Ember Bay. Too bad she got hurt and didn't get a chance to be in the takeover match that she was supposed to be in.
But on the upside, she's been on up, up, down, down a lot lately, so that's been fun.
Uh-huh. Are you are you a new listener to the show, or you've been listening for a while?
I want to say maybe 2 years. It's been a little bit.
For WrestleCast?
Yeah, because the brand split's been a year. And I was listening way before the brand split.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were aware that Ember Moon is the homie. It's one of my homies.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Sam was putting us on to her like a year before everything got popping.
Because I remember seeing her on a couple things, I think, because she was Athena.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I remember saying, yeah, huh? Cruise the YouTubes and check folk out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The next one that we would be our YouTube sensation would be Kira Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully she gets in the tournament, too.
Hey, she could be in any tournament she wants, okay?
Hashtag creepcast.
And she might give Naomi a run in another department.
That's quite a run, sir.
So, yeah, who knows?
Miss Deanna, can you tell us why you are no longer a subscriber to the WWE Network?
Well, let's be real honest. I only subscribe so that I could see the Hall of Fame because I'm kind of obsessed with the Hall of Fame ceremonies. So I subscribed to see that, and I was just like, well, let me just go ahead and watch WrestleMania and everything. And then I was going to turn it off because, honestly, there's old matches, but there's no new original content coming on the network. Like, they'll have, you know, Table for Three, or they'll have, what's the show where they're driving on the road, where they're traveling? I forget the name of the show.
Oh, Road Trip?
Road Trip. Like, those are funny, but, like, one episode will come out a week. So, what am I paying $10 a week for, a month for a channel that I might watch maybe three shows in a month?
Donald, the show is called Ride Along.
Oh, Ride Along. Thank
Ride Along.
As like, a tank.
You know, I mean, as much talent as they have between main roster, and now they've got, you know, 205 Live, and they've got, you know, NXT, they could be really filling their shows. They could be doing more episodes of Ride Along. They could be doing a lot more episodes of some of the shows they have, come up with new stuff. You know, like we talked about, there are certain people who can really talk, and we could have them host maybe a talk show. There are a lot of old school wrestlers who have, you know, podcasts and whatnot, and you could have them, you know, do their podcasts. I know Stone Cold's podcast is on the network. So, you know, if you just want to watch old wrestling, that's great. Then the network is for you. But, like, I'm one of those people, I love TV, but I love, you know, scripted TV. And so I'm not going to spend time on a network that doesn't really have a lot of shows that I like. In that case, I can watch the rest of my cable. So, and honestly, the pay-per-views, we know they're hit or miss. Sometimes they're great, sometimes they're not. But it doesn't matter because then Raw and SmackDown come up the next week, and whatever happened on the pay-per-views, we've reset and we've moved on. So I'm not that, you know, excited or pressed to see a pay-per-view every month.
Eventually, their thing is they're going to have 205, a women's show, the UK show. They're probably going to get some version of a Japan show eventually. So they're probably going to have like at least four or five different wrestling shows. They're going to fill up like nights during the week. And then they're going to probably start basing their original content stuff more around what comes on that particular day. I think that's the model that they're going toward.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're someone who watches wrestling 24/7, like some people we've heard about, you know, that's great. But I watch HBO. I have a lot of shows that I, you know, watch on TV. It's already a lot to watch Raw and SmackDown. Those shows are long. So, you know, if I was going to add another wrestling show, it would be NXT. I wouldn't be watching, you know, 205 Live and all this other stuff. Like, who really has to? What?
The one original show that I really like that I do check for, like you said, the 24 specials are pretty cool. They're when they do the like right now, because they have Money in the Bank, they have like these kind of special collections. So they have like ladder matches. So they had like this old ladder match between Tully Blanchard and Dusty Rhodes as like nobody's ever seen. So that's pretty cool. But like the one original show that I always check for is Storytime. I love that show.
Uh-huh.
where they have the animated, you know, and the guys are telling road stories or various stories, and it's animated. I love that show.
So yeah, and there were no new episodes of that when I had the network on. Like the only So the only thing new was like, okay, Table for Three. There were a couple of new episodes, and there might have been one new episode of, you know, of the Ride Along. I did see the Finn Balor thing before, you know, before I turned it off or whatever. And I like, you know, I really liked hearing what he went through in the past year, because again, I'm still, it's taken me a while to get back into things. So I didn't really know who Finn Balor was, because when I started watching, he, you know, had the injury and had to go out and rehab and whatnot. So I really liked watching the special and getting his background. But I feel like that stuff is too few and far between. If you're lucky, there's a new episode of something like that on in a given week. So, you know, it's not really holding my attention. Because, again, I'm the story person. Yeah, I like the wrestling and all that, but I like also getting some of the backstory of the actual people who are, you know, who are actually the actual superstars, as well as, you know, what it's like to be in this business. I mean, wrestling is the original reality TV before reality TV was reality TV. And they could really capitalize on that. There's just so much interesting story to tell about what, you know, what goes on behind the scenes. But, right. You know, but somebody will pay for it, so I'm not worried.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sam, what do you think the ratings are going to be for next week when Brock comes out? They'll probably do a huge number because basketball probably going to be over.
Yeah, well, probably, you know, probably about it, Dom. Come on. Come on, you saw the game last night.
Yeah, I did. So basketball will be over. They'll be like, nobody really is into baseball right now. So, you know, Brock coming on Raw is going to probably be like the talk of TV. Is there anything going on Monday Night Raw that might... Oh, Kurt is going. They're going to talk about the pregnancy test next week on Monday Night Raw. So I don't know.
Dee Dee, wake up!
Yeah, we may have lost her.
She might be out for the count.
She may be lost in the sauce.
Literally. All I know is if Samoa Joe is going to be there and Brock, then yeah, they're going to set it off. But I think it's just going to be Brock. So it's like.
Hopefully it's just Brock and Samoa Joe doesn't come. It's like he's playing mind games with him.
Nah, I think Samoa Joe should just be up on the ramp. You know what I'm saying? He don't have to be in the ring, but he's like, dude, I'm not scared of you.
Or he could be like, you know, off like in the crowd somewhere. And like, you know, challenging Brock be like, come down here. And Joe was like, no, you come up here, and then that's it.
Right, because you want to hype it up and build attention. You know, find some way to get some referees to pull him apart so they don't actually touch. But you want him to be in his face. Like, I don't care who you are. I'm coming for your belt.
Hopefully we'll get to see the this mythical belt that they keep talking about.
The Universal title?
That's a joke that I stole from Lady Nikki.
Shout out to her. She joined us in the hashtags this week.
But yeah.
So, Don, what do you think of this live-action Glow TV show?
Apparently, man, it's going to be the ish. I don't have Netflix, so I'm going to have to try to find some alternative means to watch it. But
wait, you don't have Netflix?
No.
The WWE Network, but you don't have Netflix.
No, I don't have Netflix. I'm not really into movies like that. I'm not a movie guy. I don't.
They have more shows on there now.
I watch more like HBO type shows. I'm not really like I'm not really the Netflix market guy. So
the Netflix originals are just as good as HBO. Your priorities are messed up, son.
Yeah, so
you can tell Don's an old man. He's called it the Netflix.
The Netflix. I'm not really in their market wheelhouse, but everybody is talking about like this particular show. So many people said it's going to be so good. Mark, I listen to Mark Maron's podcast, and he is very excited about it because he plays like the promoter.
Yeah, I don't think the characters are going to be like I don't think they're actually going to base them off the actual characters, though. Like, there was, like, one Hawaiian lady, so maybe, like, there will be, like, a Mount Fiji type.
Mm-hmm.
Mount Fiji type character.
But, it's going to be, you know, maybe not the exact characters, but, you know, based off of type.
Yeah. Well, we just kind of say, because I, some of those women actually do want to see, like, knockoffs of them.
But what's cool is they got a bunch of the old women from GLOW to, like, come in and be a part of the production team and the direction team and stuff. So they have
I just hope that they don't show that really cringy arm break. Did you ever see this, Don?
I don't know if it's going to be like an reenactment.
I don't know, but did you ever see that?
I don't think so.
That was the worst. Because, like, the arm literally bent backwards and you can see it. It just looks so disgusting.
Yeah, I don't remember that because I would have been crying and screaming because I was a little girl back then.
It was disturbing.
But I loved GLOW, though. GLOW was fun.
Yeah, GLOW was the ish, man.
Yeah, so I'm hyped for this. You know, they actually had, well, you don't know, Don, but they actually have a GLOW, like a documentary on it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There is. Yeah. I think there were two of them at one point.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to watch that before the actual series comes out, just to jog my memory. But yeah, just off the nostalgia alone, I am here for it.
There's going to be a lot of podcasts pop up.
If you check out the trailer, the trailer's on YouTube.
Okay, yeah, there's going to be a lot of podcasts pop up about that show. People are really into I've been in contact with several people who are like, I'm really looking forward to this, and I want to talk about it. So...
So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it at the end of June.
Yep.
Awesome. I'll be sure to check it out.
Oh, yeah, I'll be watching.
Yeah, you guys, if you do feel compelled to, you know, help your boy out, DMs are open, passwords.
I'll help you out.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
So, yeah, so, like, last week's Raw, I was going to do a review, but I got so bored I twisted over to The Hobbit. And I said I was going to review that instead. So, you're lucky that I wasn't on the show last week.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, it was a much better show than Raw. There's no 50-50 booking in The Hobbit, okay? although there were some boring 20-minute promos.
Oh, yeah. Lord of the Rings, they got a few promos in.
All right, so is that all? I mean, are we done?
I think that's it before the shout-outs, man. All right,
so we're going to let our guests...
Oh, no, no, I'll do it in my shout-outs. Go ahead.
Okay, Miss D. Lovely, if you would grace us with some shout-outs.
Sure. I'm a shout-out... all my friends and family, because it was my birthday last weekend, and folk came through with gifts and all types of fun activities, so that was lovely. I'm going to shout out two of my friends, Unika and Leah, because they don't believe that I watch wrestling, and now I'm on wrestling podcasts. What? and if you guys want to follow me while I live tweet, my social media, my... Twitter is DLovely179. So DLovely all spelled out in letters and 79.
So the letter D and then Lovely, right?
No, so DEELOVELY 0-0-O-N-E and then 79.
The actual letter
79. Rasslecast. I follow the Rasslecast.
Oh, there you are. Oh, it's you. Okay. I've like tweeted you before.
It's like, oh, it's you. Okay.
Yeah, I've tweeted you. You've been on the broadcast.
Yeah, I didn't follow you because you be throwing shades. So, but can I
follow Wait, what? You? What? You unfollowed me or what?
I never followed you.
Oh, okay. Because I'm. Who was I throwing shade at?
You just throw shade at everybody. You're equal opportunity shade thrower.
Okay.
So I was like, I don't know about
following you. Well, yeah, I just followed you on my primary account.
Okay, I'll follow you back.
Awesome. So, anything else before we move on to?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Dee Dee? No? Okay. Don, go for it.
All right. Everybody, check out Cast Strong Style, Episode 7, Miyamoto. We reviewed Best of the Super Juniors, and we previewed Dominion. Check out Dominion this Sunday. It is going to be the rematch between Okada and Omega.
Oh, your boy Will Ospreay won, didn't he?
No, Will Ospreay did not win. Kushida beat him in the final.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I just catch every here and there.
Yeah, you said, listen to Cast of Strong Style, man. We'll catch you back up. We do it like every 2 weeks, so there's, you know, you can catch back up on everything that's been going on. Shout out to Jade Max, who is traveling internationally starting today. She's going to be gone for quite a while, so safe travels to her, and hopefully she has a good time. Shout out to everybody who was in the Streamcast, everybody who voted in the poll, everybody who showed up for Rawcast, SmackDown Matters. Everybody who's out on the CSPN network, big shout out to our guest tonight, the lovely one. Like I said, it's really cool to hear that we got you get back into wrestling just by listening to our podcast, just by being a wrestling fan and just taking a chance on us. So totally appreciate you supporting us and being a fan. And big shout out to, of course, Greg for being able to make it, for Sam stepping into the big chair, for Dee Dee doing a drunk run in. We always love those. She's the best, and she's our SmackDown Matters correspondent. A big shout out to Classic, who's going to put the work in to put together the parting promo. Last week, the parting promo was excellent with the beat split between the Usos and the New Day. So you guys always check those out. And Sam, how about you?
Shout out to Lady Nikki, of course. She joined us on the Rawcast. And, of course, shout out to our guest, Miss D. Lovely. Shout out to Dee Dee for somewhat being on. Shout out to Greg also, of course. And shout out to Classic. And shout out to Kara Hogan. And I think that's it. So we will see you next week. And we are out of here.
I'm going to make this very simple. What stands here in front of you is a man that does not fear Brock Lesnar. And though I hate to admit this, I'm incapable of fearing him because I am far, far too envious of Brock Lesnar. You see, I want everything Brock Lesnar has, and I want to take it from him. I understand that you don't fear Brock Lesnar, and so that you know, face to face, man to man, Brock Lesnar doesn't fear you either. What bothers me about you, respectfully, is that I think the fact that Brock Lesnar doesn't fear you, I think you like that. I think that's exactly what you're looking for. You know, I worry for a living. Samoa Joe, you are the worst case scenario. Even if Brock Lesnar defends the Universal Championship against you, he's not leaving the ring the same way he came in. Because even if Brock Lesnar gets by you, I know, you're going to take a piece of Brock Lesnar with you. But just so you know, man to man, eyeball to eyeball, it's my job in life to make sure that at Great Balls of Fire, Brock Lesnar is your worst case scenario. Samoa Joe, you want Brock Lesnar? You got Brock Lesnar.
That's very disappointing to me. It's very disappointing to me. So I want to tell you something face to face, man to man.
I'm just a guy.
I understand that. And this is just between me and you. And something very bad is going to happen to you right now.
Joe, you're crowded.
Listen. I'm going to wrap my arm around your throat. And you're going to feel it tight.
Joe say he wants Heyman to take a message back to Lesnar. This is Brock's future.
You tell him this.